Well, good morning. This is the Lou Rockwell Show, and how great to have as our guest today Dr. Don Miller. Don Miller, or as I should give him his full name, Donald W. Miller Jr., is a professor emeritus of cardiac surgery at the University of Washington Medical School, a scholarly physician, a very prolific in his writings, and not only about medical issues, although we're going to talk to him today about a medical issue, but I should mention, if you look at his wonderful and somewhat intimidating group of articles that he's written for LRC, everything from the Civil War to fluoridation, to all sorts of medical issues, the Beat Generation, he knows all about Schopenhauer, Woody Allen. I mean, you know, this is a man who knows, he's a polymath. What can I say? He knows everything about everything. But today, I'm so glad that he's coming on to talk to us about the measles hysteria. Don, it almost seems like a coordinated thing, but certainly the regime and all its allies are wanting us to freak out over the idea that we might get measles. Although I might just tell a story from long ago when I was a kid. I was just remembering that if one of our friends in our group got the measles, the parents typically wanted the other kids to go over there and get the measles too, so that you'd get it over with and you'd get the immunity and so forth from it. It wasn't the equivalent of polio, let's say.
Right. Well, they used to be called measles parties. And parents knew that the best time to get measles between the age of 5 and 9. That's when you have the fewest problems and you recover from it well. And it occurs at a time when the adaptive part of the immune system is still maturing. And it's important in the maturation process that this virus gets worked on by the immune system. And I remember that too. I was 70 years ago. I was a child and parents that had measles parties. And as a matter of fact, in reading over this subject, in Germany, families have started having measles parties again.
Very interesting. So why the hysteria? Is there some new strain of measles? Where is this coming from to the extent that it's a true story? And, you know, you always have to wonder when the government is telling you things.
Right. No,
is this something for parents to worry about now? I mean, what's...
Well, it's the same old story, Lou. And the Disneyland outbreak is used as an avenue to scare people and get them to get vaccinated, those who haven't. But what's interesting about these outbreaks and the way government and the media deal with them is that they blame the outbreaks on the unvaccinated people and that they're somehow going to harm the people who have been vaccinated.
Yeah.
Yeah. The question that the officials and the pundits do not ask is, well, why would an unvaccinated person pose a danger to the vaccinated population if the vaccine is effective and really works? It shouldn't make any difference. If you're vaccinated, you're protected. And the problem is with the unvaccinated people, not the ones at Disneyland that have already been vaccinated, but the way it's portrayed is that they're in danger too.
But can the vaccinated people give others measles, and can vaccinated people get measles?
Right. Well, you know, part of the media thing on this is, I think there was one girl at Disneyland that the police or the authorities wanted to forcibly quarantine and isolate. And if you're going to quarantine anybody, the people that should be quarantined are the ones who get the vaccination for the first few weeks after they get it, because they shed the virus. And there have been reports of people getting measles from the live measles virus that's vaccinated in somebody that they're shedding in the early parts, weeks after the vaccination.
You mentioned, you know, the ages of 5 to 9 in the old days. The measles vaccine, or it's actually, you'll explain to us, the MMR vaccine. What age is that normally given to children?
15 months.
Wow.
The vaccine doesn't work before 15 months. You know, back before the vaccine started being used, and several were tried in the early 60s, but they finally came with a live virus one in 1968 that worked. But before 1968, everybody in the population gets measles. And so all mothers had a natural immunity, and they would transfer antibodies to the measles to their babies. And they would be protected for the first year, year and a half of life. And it turns out that that's the period of time when the vaccine definitely does not work. And even when it does work, what's been found out is the vaccine does not provide lifelong immunity. It's only for several years, and then you're still vulnerable again. And then you get a booster shot, but studies that measure antibody levels after booster shots so that they don't really make too much of a difference. So basically, you get a few years protection with the vaccine, and then you're exposed to it and vulnerable to get the vaccine in a more dangerous time, because it turns out that this virus can be handled nicely by young children as their immune system develops between the ages of 5 and 9. And in the early 60s, before the vaccine came, with good nutrition, with refrigerators and fresh fruit and vegetables shipped quickly to cities and better sanitation, mortality rate dropped up to about 1 in a million, so that the kids would come through it fine. But what's happening now with the vaccine that only lasts for a few years, that we're getting the situation that you could call blowback, and people who have been vaccinated, have gone past the period when they're protected, are now vulnerable. And when adults get measles, the complication rate's much higher. And they can get ovarian and testicular problems and become sterile. And the neurologic problems of seizures and encephalitis go up in adults, and also in children under the age of one, because they're no longer protected by maternal antibodies, because mothers today have all been vaccinated. So it turns out that in the outbreaks that are occurring now, a shocking percentage of the people getting the cases are in children under the age of one. And there was a outbreak in England where it was 13%, one in Albuquerque where it was something like 23%, and one in Texas, Brownsville. 45% of the cases in that outbreak were kids under one.
How dangerous is it for a child under one?
It's hard to come up with statistics to know for sure. In the population that used to get it before a vaccine, the chances of seizures dropped down to 1 in 3,000, and the risk of encephalitis was 1 in 100,000, and 75% of those who got it recovered. We just don't have a lot of information about kids under one, because for all these generations, they never got it because their mother protected them. The vaccine then pretty much, you know, in the 60s, a million cases a year, and between 2001 and 2013, there were less than 100 cases a year in the U.S. But now it's starting to increase. Last year, there were 644 cases, and in January alone of this year, there have been 105 cases, 102 cases, of which 67 were in Disneyland. So what we're seeing in developed countries is that the disease is coming back, the virus hasn't gone away, and now it's affecting more vulnerable populations that before were never exposed to it because they got measles when they were a kid. That's what the blowback is. This vaccine that's supposed to be such a wonderful thing is now exposing new generations of people at the wrong age to this virus.
And yet, Don, we're told that vaccines are only good, not bad, and anybody is crazy or evil or both for not wanting to have their children vaccinated. And of course, it's not just measles. As you point out, it's the MMR vaccination that's also, I think, reliably connected to the increases in autism. Very good reasons parents don't want to get their little babies these vaccinations. And of course, isn't the number of vaccinations we're all supposed to get at all ages of life vastly increasing, and a lot of money being made, of course, out of this? And the regime just, they love the idea of mandated medicine, don't they? They love the idea of forcing you to do things. What's happening to the anti-vaccination movement? Is it being strengthened? Is that why there's such hysteria?
Lou, as you know, we're living in a medical police state, and vaccines are pretty much mandatory. You can't send your kid to a public school unless you get the full battery of them. It varies by state, but all states make you have vaccines, and all states require MMR. And you can't get a measles vaccination, just the measles. In this country, Merck makes it the MMR2, and that also has mumps and rubella. And by the way, the rubella virus is grown in aborted human fetal cells. In England and France, you can get a single measles vaccine. But it turns out now, with the CDC schedule, American children get 50 injections of 14 different vaccines by the age of 6. And this is injecting things. It's not virus coming through the mucosa of the lungs or the intestine, which also helps to strengthen that part of the immune system. It's being injected right into the body and into the blood. And these vaccines contain things like aluminum and gelatin and neomycin, and for the flu shots still have mercury in them. So it's been a real disaster. And comparing the risk of the disease of measles and the risk of the vaccine, you could argue that the measles vaccine has saved maybe a few hundred deaths over the last 50 years, with the mortality rate so low after sanitation and nutrition improved. Well, during this period now, you get several thousand normally developing children who become autistic after their MMR shot each year. It's called regressive autism. They're doing fine, and they get their shot, and a week to a month later, they're autistic. 10 to 20,000 children are being diagnosed with autism each year. And also another statistic that I found really shocking is that health officials now classify 1 in 6 American children as, quote, learning disabled. And so one can make an argument that the risk of the vaccines outweigh the risk of having the childhood disease in question.
Wow. Is there anything parents can do? I mean, you mentioned you have to, I guess you can homeschool, at least so far. You don't have to send the kids to public school, but that's obviously tough for some people. I would say the media hysteria and the government whipped up hysteria indicates that there's more on the way in terms of policing of everyone to make sure that they take all their increasing numbers of, and aren't there vaccinations even aside from the flu vaccine they even want old people to be taking?
Oh, yeah, they want old people to get flu shots every year, and they don't work, and studies show that they don't work. And the flu shots have, with mercury and other adjuvants in it, there is some preliminary work that people that get flu shots are more prone to get Alzheimer's disease. The young kids get autism, the old ones, Alzheimer's. But the interesting thing about autism is that the government and the medical associations and the drug companies categorically state that the vaccines do not cause autism. And when you look at the package insert for the MMR vaccine that Merck has, it reads like a horror show list with all the encephalitis and immune system suppression and diabetes and inflammatory bowel disease and pancreatitis, so forth and so on. But nowhere in that insert do they say the vaccine causes autism. But the evidence is increasing and overwhelming. And we have a new development now. It reminds me of what Shakespeare told us when he said that in the end, truth will out. That's in The Merchant of Venice. And what we have now, recently, we have a Edward Snowden from the CDC come forth, Dr. William Thompson. And because of a guilty conscience, he came forth and said that a paper that he was a co-author on, published in Pediatrics in 2004, all the authors worked for the CDC, committed scientific fraud, and that they suppressed in that paper the fact that autism, the vaccine, caused a 340% increased risk in autism in African-American babies. And Dr. Thompson has come forth and said this. Now, subscribers of the New York Times will not have heard about it because they haven't said a word. But the most recent thing, just this last week, is that the president has granted Dr. Thompson, quote, official whistleblower status and immunity to testify before Congress. So I do think that in the end, the truth will come out. The whole spectrum of evidence on autism, when you look at it with an open mind, it's clear. And you only have to start with the fact that before vaccines started being used, the incidence of autism was 1 in 10,000 children. Now, unbelievably, it's 1 in 42 boys and 1 in 189 girls. And all of us know families that have autistic kids and what a tragedy and devastation it is. And can you imagine 1 in 42 boys are autistic now in this country? The evidence points directly to vaccines, and the truth will out, and the time is going to come, particularly when we get blowback with the measles vaccine not working and people getting the disease with the wrong time of life, that we're going to find, we can expect, and I will predict that there's going to come a day in the United States when we start having measles parties again and inform parents of them to get their kids at the right age to have measles.
Don, what if you're concerned parents and you're concerned about all the things that you've discussed, you don't want your children to be vaccinated, so you're not going to send them to the public schools. Are there any nutritional or other kinds of measures that parents might take that would help their kids, their unvaccinated kids?
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because in order to come through measles smoothly as a child, the first thing that's necessary is vitamin A. And studies have been done in third world countries, in China too, that shows that vitamin A reduces the mortality rate substantially for measles. And what you need to give kids is 200,000 units for 2 days of vitamin A, and that'll make a huge difference. And then the other thing is, and most conventional doctors will do the wrong thing on this, that in order to come through measles safely and have it mature your immune system in the correct way, you must not try and suppress the fever that occurs, because kids will get a fever of 104 to 105, and they need that fever as part of the mechanism to get their immune system matured. And then, of course, in addition to vitamin A, with regard to nutrition, vitamin D is very important. And it may well be that those African-American boys that had the high incidence of autism that was suppressed in the scientific fraud of the CDC, the reason that they stuck out as getting autism was that they were vitamin D deficient. And most black people are vitamin D deficient because they can't make vitamin D in their skin as well with the sun. And we're at latitudes in the winter, we don't make any at all. In addition, vitamin C is very important. Zinc boosts immunity. Magnesium prevents viral damage. Curcumin's important for preventing viral damage and preventing what's called cytokine storm, and the immune system overreacts. Resveratrol is another one that reduces viral replication. So there's a whole host of nutritional things that are important. So that if you send your kid to a measles party to get the benefit of that, you want them nutritionally prepped so that they come through it without with minimal problems.
Don, a couple of years ago, I heard a story on NPR. One of the last times I listened to NPR, I might add. And they were talking about, you know, it's a terrible thing that people who are skeptical of vaccinations are not just the redneck rural Southerners who you might expect would be anti-progress in all areas, but in places like Marin County in California, that people like us, people like NPR listeners, were also not getting their children vaccinated. And they were very concerned about this and what to do and how to browbeat them into the regime.
Well, Lou, they've been so badly misinformed by the media and the government. One thing I would recommend parents do to have kids, there's only one book they need to get. It's in paperback Amazon, $15 or something. And it's by Neil Miller, no relation, titled Vaccine Safety Manual for Concerned Families and Health Practitioners. It's also necessary for health practitioners who don't know much about vaccines. That book, there are 3,000 scientific references in it, and the Marin County intellectuals, if they would read that book with an open mind, they would start realizing that they're looking at it the wrong way.
Well, Don, this is all startling and fascinating and unfortunate information, but so important to know for all of us, I think, in terms of as we listen to what you correctly call the medical police state giving us edicts on a whole bunch of things besides vaccinations. Important to be so skeptical of these people. And
well, you mentioned HEDEX. That's a combination of six vaccines. And
yes,
this is another new thing that's really something, is that GlaxoSmithKline were required to file a safety report in Europe about that vaccine, 1,200 pages. It turns out, buried on page 646 to 649, the investigators have found clear-cut, incontrovertible evidence that this vaccine causes sudden infant death. And wow. What they found was that 97% of the deaths that occur in kids who had in the population of vaccinations occur within a week of the vaccination, and then another 3% the second week. And you're not hearing that about the New York Times either, but there's now evidence that sudden death is not because you got the baby in the wrong position sleeping. It's because of the vaccines that are injected into their bodies.
And you've mentioned, too, the quantity of the vaccine that's injected into a baby. If we proportionally said that for an adult, I mean, it would be a huge amount of chemicals.
Right. So for one vaccine injection, and the doses that a baby will get is equivalent to 70 shots in an adult. I mean, it's just amazing how the immune system were assaulted in these kids. And you read Neil Miller's book, and he has over and over, parents have written in about what happened to their kids after they got the vaccine within hours or a few days. I mean, they're just tragic stories and just unbelievable that this has continued on as much as it has, particularly when you understand the evolution of vertebrate human immune systems and you realize that these childhood viral diseases are an important factor in the maturation of the immune system. And one of the things that measles has been in particular in mumps do is that it stimulates the side of the immune system that has to do with cellular immunity. They call the T helper cells, TH1. The vaccines stimulate the TH2, which cells that make antibodies. The TH1 cells are the ones that patrol the body for aberrant cells that run amok and become cancerous and takes out cells that are infected with viruses. And one of the interesting things with all these vaccines is that the most common cause of death in children now is cancer. And it may well be because the immune system of these kids is not being developed properly because they're not having the childhood diseases that they've had in the past prevent cancer. There's one study in Cancer, which is a real mainstream orthodox journal, that showed that women who had mumps had a statistically lower incidence of ovarian cancer than those that had the vaccine. But, you know, what you need is a randomized, blinded study to do this, but the NIH, the drug companies, the CDC, none of these social entities will fund a study like this. They don't want to know about it because it might hurt the vaccine business.
You just informed me before we got on the air that you're doing a new article on vaccines that will be up on the LRC site by the time people hear this podcast. And tell us the title.
The title is Measles versus MMR Vaccine, Risks and Benefits.
So I want to recommend everybody read that article to the extent you can. Read everything of Don Miller's. He's a writer. Once you start to read him, you'd be hooked. You want to read the other things he has to say. Don, this whole issue is so important. I think people are waking up, thanks to you and others, about the horrors of the whole vaccine system and, for that matter, the whole medical police state. So thanks for alerting us. Thanks for coming on today. Thanks for all the work you do. And for worried parents, thanks for that book recommendation. And worried parents, also take a look at Don Miller's forthcoming article. So, Don, thanks a million.
Thank you, Lou. Thanks for having me on.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, thanks so much for listening to the Lou Rockwell Show today. Take a look at all the podcasts. There have been hundreds of them. There's a link on the LRC front page. Thank you.